right, people, I need a go no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1070 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, October 22nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show today by becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. If you want to get some cool outerwear, cool mugs, cups, glasses, you name it, pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a very, very warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners. Of course, if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you as well. We want to make sure that you get connected with the show immediately by going over to geeknewscentral.com. Get subscribed to the show. There's links there on the website to be able to do that. So it's real easy peasy to do it. And we want iOS and Android users and even Windows Phone users, whatever you may be on, there's a way for you to subscribe to the show. There's a podcatcher for you. You can also watch right on the website at geeknewscentral.com. That's just as an easy way as well. And you just have to scroll down the page a little bit to find the latest episode. If you have any comments about today's show, really the best way to reach out is definitely to email me, email me at geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, you can reach me on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook. You can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, or you can just subscribe via the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo. All you got to do is tell Alexa to play the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher or watch or listen on blueberry.com. Partner shows at geeknewscentral.com are very important. Got a great lineup of shows here. I want you to be subscribed to all of them. We got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We've got Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. We've got The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. We've got The Elder Divide with Todd Ani and the Pro Gear site at progear.guru. And still, a couple of new shows coming. We got some stuff in work there that'll happen. So hopefully make some announcements here in the next couple of weeks on that. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com, and GoDaddy's been here really since essentially the beginning. We're in our 11th year of podcasting here, and I've got to send a picture over to Sam. He's going to update the Ohanasaurus, so we're in our 11th year. Very, very exciting, but with that, great deals can be found at GoDaddy with their promo codes. We want you to utilize them. 99cent.com is 30% off on your product purchases, new product purchases. And of course, we've got hosting accounts, whether it be a managed WordPress, economy hosting, or website builder. All these products come with a free domain. The website builder product comes with even a Microsoft Outlook email address as well. Again, $1 a month for all of these services for the first 12 months. See details on the website to make sure you know what the pricing reverts to after that first year. But all my codes start with CJC and then end with GNC30, GNC99, GNCGOT, GNC1HS, GNCWP1. So again, CJC, GNC30, and so forth. Again, all these codes, all the savings, all the ways to save money at GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to share these codes, share that link, tweet it, link it, Facebook it, you name it, send people our way to support the show. It helps out immensely when you do so. Really, it is a blessing when you share with your friends and family members that and strangers. You hear someone talking about hosting, send them my way, okay? I definitely appreciate all of you that do that. But again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is where the link is so that you can get connected with those codes. Click on the link. It'll take you straight to GoDaddy and lock in the code. Always check that you get the discount, okay? It's very, very important that you do that. Okay, what else is in my little stack here? You know, I'm just basically... this afternoon, I have just got one heck a lot of irons in the fire. And, you know, today was a 4 a.m. wake up. 5 a.m. I was on the PowerPress podcast show for 30 minutes. Roll out of here with the kids at 5:45 to 6, take them to school. You know, crank on stuff all day long, you know, and it just like it's, I mean, busy. My phone's ringing off the hook, which is a good thing. Emails coming in. Lots of people want to talk about doing deals. It's an exciting time in the podcasting space right now. It really, really is. And part of my overarching understanding of the space makes me understand that a lot of companies are fighting over limited resources. And so the limited resources being your ears, even though there are, I think we've indexed about 300,000 shows, not all of those shows are active. The average podcast is not that big. And those that are big shows are in the stratosphere, are less than 1% of the total shows in the podcasting space. And so the 99% of the other folks, and, you know, I could probably even consider this show, because we're not a stratosphere show. We do really, really well. We're probably a 3% show. This show here is a 3% show. But the remaining folks that are literally from like 100 listeners up to 10,000 per episode make up really tens of thousands of podcasts. And they are the new frontier as people come into the podcasting space. And a lot of companies are, and they're trying to figure out how to access them, how to monetize them, how to get relationships with them. And these are relatively newcomers to the space. And most of the folks are suits. You know, they are not content creators like I am or some of the other folks in the space. So they really don't understand the struggles and the ongoing day-to-day stuff that goes on in building a business, building a podcast, building an audience. You know, I take the same struggles as any other podcaster in building an audience and maintaining. And so I understand that. I understand the challenges in monetizing and trying to keep the family fed and keep the lights on. That's all very, very real, you know, from a month-to-month basis. And as I kind of talked to Rob a little bit about it a couple of weeks ago, this is, you know, when you're a talent at a radio station, you got the radio station above you taking care of all that stuff, right? Well, essentially, the 99.9% of the podcasters, we are the radio station, we're the talent, we're the marketing department, we're social, we're everything, we're all that stuff. And as a, you know, single person or solo, maybe it's a team, maybe it's a, you know, maybe there's two people in a show. And it can be a challenge. And so what we're finding is a lot of calls that I'm having, and I do most of my calls very early in the morning, because if I don't, things, it, you know, they can get in the way of my day. So, you know, I may start phone calls from, let's say, 5 a.m. to maybe 7 a.m. or 7:30 a.m. And then try to not take calls. I try to get work done. So, or I let McKenzie take the answer to the phone in Columbus. But it's, a lot of these folks are trying to figure out how to tap to get access to you. And they, I think they're having challenges, in doing so. So it's going to be a very interesting time. You got a front row seat to really what's happening. And I'll share as much as I can when I can on stuff. But, you know, going back to our sponsor, going back to, you know, to GoDaddy, you know, they've been here supporting this show forever. My God, I love them to death because, you know, without them, things would be a lot different, really. I mean, in more ways than one. So, you know, and I just, finally had to kind of say today, man, it's been running 175%. Try to get some breather in between here and there and some downtime. And I don't think it's going to be possible, you know, for the forthcoming months. So if stuff falls through the cracks, it does. And there's just not a lot I can do about it. Oftentimes, I don't want to go into this feel sorry for me type thing because, you know, that's, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that, you know, shipping stuff out or making connections, there are times that I fall behind. And I hope that you guys will just understand that and deal with me because of those type of challenges and just overwhelmed, absolutely overwhelmed at times. So, but I appreciate you guys being here and being part of the Ohana. Doesn't digress or take away from the show at all. This is what I live for. Be able to bring the show to you twice a week, and if I could, I'd do it more, to be honest with you. Again, it's that balance there, right? And I've already impacted my family a lot over the years. 2 to 3 days a week of content creation, and 4 or 5 hours per set to do that. So I just have to try to not overwhelm it and get the wife angry. Sometimes it's not possible, but I do my best. And, of course, I've got teenagers in the house right now. Oh, my God. They're, from 19 to 12. And, oh, you parents, you understand. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, there are sometimes. Lord, help me get through this stage. that's all I can say, and I think those of you that have lived it understand it completely. With that, have been presented some new business opportunities that I felt may be appropriate for some of you. If you're looking for something, if you're looking for an opportunity, and you're open to ideas, email me here at the show, and we'll chit-chat a little bit about it. No pressure, but if you're open to listening to something, I may have something for you. But beyond that, I want to thank, I turned the app data over to Sam today. He may not even have gotten the email yet, but Sam, if you can figure that thing out, anybody can, and maybe we can make a tutorial on how to use that app developer that we're having, because I just don't think the instructions are super clean, and being... with these many irons in the fire, I have a tendency to lose patience very quickly if things don't, for a better word, click, 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 click together. Okay, so let's go ahead and I got a whole stack of stuff tonight. And I really do want to step out and maybe go against the grain just a little bit when it comes to Tesla. I would love to have a Tesla. Any super geek, if that thing costs what a normal vehicle would cost, I'd be there. I'd be in the showroom and probably picking one up and maybe doing a little extra stretch to make the finances work, even if it was just a little more. But they're not just a little more. They're a lot more. And I saw an article a couple days ago about a guy by the name Alex Roy, who was the first to drive cross country using the Tesla autopilot. And I want you to listen to this. This Tesla autopilot was really named incorrectly. And in fact, the folks at Tesla are telling folks that are testing this. Elon Musk is saying, keep your hands on the wheel. This is not designed for hands off driving, but this Alex Roy drove coast to coast using the Tesla Autopilot. They don't say how much he actually had to touch the wheel and self-drive, but I've seen video after video after video, and I even saw a friend of mine here in Hawaii who has got a loaner car to drive that was using it here in Hawaii, and they think this is an autonomous driving vehicle app, or you know, it's not. And I'm afraid what's going to happen. I think something very bad is going to happen. I think people are going to become, no one wants an autonomous vehicle more than I. No one wants, I want to be able to get in my vehicle and say, go here, and I don't have to drive. Matter of fact, I like to take a nap. You know, that's where I'm at. I really, when I'm driving in Hawaii, my stress level and blood pressure probably, you know, goes up 10, 15, 20 points because the traffic is just absolutely ape shit bad. It's bad, 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 bad here to the point of really, it's, you know, the last 3 days have been, every morning there's been a wreck, and the limited freeway options is just made for horrendous commutes and taking the kids into school. So, but I'm seeing all these folks driving at freeway speeds. In some instances, this is what it was designed for. But going around corners, and I'm hearing the visual, that's not quite in it. You know, if you have to say, when you're going around a corner with this, it's not ready. So what I'm really afraid, and I hope it doesn't happen, is I'm afraid that Tesla's going to kill somebody. And I'm going to say Tesla because they have got this right now set up that it's, you can take your hands off the wheels, and then it for a little bit it'll go, and then all of a sudden they say, hey, if you don't put your hands on the wheels, we're going to pull the car over right away. That's essentially the warning. But they put their hand on the wheel just real quickly, reset the warning, and take their hand off again. What happens when people get a little too comfortable? And, you know, they've been driving with the, you know, let's say they're driving hands-free, and, you know, they've done this for 2-3 weeks, a month, they get a little more confident, they start checking voicemail, thinking, or checking email, or reading a text, thinking that they can not pay attention. And this is what's going to happen. Someone is going to get killed. Either the driver and the passengers, or an innocent person on the street. And I'm not the only one that's thinking about this. TheNextWeb.com has an article about drivers are being idiots with Tesla's new autopilot features. And the next thing is, how many states have actually signed off on this? Tesla just kind of threw it out there. But no state, I don't think there's any state that is allowing anyone without special permission to basically have an autonomous car. Now, Tesla's saying it's not autonomous. But if you see some of these videos, it's pretty autonomous. And there's a YouTube video where a guy says, hey, my Tesla Autopilot tried to kill me. And I'm already seeing, and here's the insanity, here's a guy with a book. If you're watching the video, he's rolling down the highway reading a doggone book. Tesla is to blame here in marketing this as an autopilot instead of a assistive technology. It's very bold of the company to put such an incredible new feature out to the world via nothing more than a software update. And I'm just really worried, and based upon the YouTube videos that are out there, that someone's going to have a misunderstanding of the capabilities or become too confident in it. And someone's going to end up DEAD, or at the least, a very expensive, very beautiful, very a technology advanced vehicle wrapped around a tree in a ditch, having someone come across their hood. We all want autonomous vehicles. We do. We do. I think the majority of us do. But humans are going to abuse what Tesla's put on the street. And I feel, and I'm very, very strong in saying this, that greater care needs to be taken with the human factor in this equation before simply pushing out a software update to a few hundred thousand cars. And in this regard, I think Tesla has made a very bad mistake. Hey, I'll be honest, if I had a Tesla and it had this autopilot feature, I probably would be testing it as well. But does that seem like hypocritical? Do as I say, not as I do? Yeah, maybe. But at the same point, sitting at this side of the microphone at this point and not being in the driver's seat, I'm going to have to take the high road until there's more incidental proof that these vehicles are not going to kill the passenger, someone else, and that people understand the limitations of the software. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. I really, really do. Do you think someone's going to end up dead over this? Or is someone going to get hit? Are we going to wreck some cars? And how does the insurance company, the insurance company, like, you ran off the road? Or you hit someone in a crosswalk? Oh, your car does have this autopilot in it? Was it engaged? Can we see the data logs on that, please? And the next thing you're in for a murder charge, or you are in, or a manslaughter charge, or you're in for something, or you're going to jail for a long time. Or they say, we're not paying for any insurance on this vehicle. You hit a mailbox. That's not going to happen. Or you hit the curb and blew the tires and damaged the frame. We're not paying for this. If I was the insurance companies, that absolutely, they would be like the first, I would be sending letters to every Tesla owner that basically says, listen, you wreck this thing under autopilot, your warranty or your insurance is null and void until the system is proven. And as much as I don't like government intervention, and I really am not the type that likes to rely on Uncle Sam. But I think each state is going to have to make a decision here relatively quickly. I'm surprised news hasn't popped the legislation already popping up with some sort of controls, or I think they're just behind the power curve. I think it'll happen, but definitely not at this point. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Love to hear your thoughts. Geeknews@gmail.com. Or am I just being a wuss? Am I being a wuss and should just say, okay, let's go with it? Anyone experienced it? So a lot of unknown at this point, for sure. All right, according to the Associated Press, and I don't like linking to their stuff because they are so naughty when it comes to people linking to their content or anything, but to very, very, very lightly go over what they have to say here. Cybersecurity. The Senate has taken initial steps to the endorsement in an 83-14 procedural vote to pass a bill aimed at improving cybersecurity by encouraging the sharing of threat information among companies and the U.S. government. The Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act is co-sponsored by Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, and Senator Richard Byrd, Republican of North Carolina, who said it was critical to limit increasingly high-profile cyber attacks such as the one suffered by Sony last year. They go on to say this is a good bill. It's a first step. It's not going to prevent all cyber attacks or penetrations, but it will allow for companies to share information about the cyber threats they see and the defensive measures being implemented to protect their networks. Feinstein said she said the same tactics are used repeatedly against different targets, which shouldn't happen. Companies are going to receive legal protection from antitrust and consumer privacy liabilities for participating in the voluntary program. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, who opposed the bill, said it provides liability protection for companies which are required to remove personal and unrelated information provided to the government only if they know it's personal and unrelated. So basically, the companies are required virtually to do no looking. It's the most cursory. It is the most cursory of a review. He said Americans would call it another surveillance bill. So the U.S. technology industry already operates intended groups to improve this. Apple and a couple other, Apple and Dropbox have come out and said they've opposed it. They said it lacks key privacy protections and may result in personal information ending up in the government's hands. So I don't know enough about this bill. I hear the tech companies talking bad about it. And when they do, you know, I kind of side to the point of the tech companies, but I also understand the impact of consumers, you know, sometimes going weeks and months without being informed if their personal information was hacked. The hack of security clearance, you know, that we talked about, this SF80, FS65, or whatever that form was that everyone fills out for security clearances with the government. It took Uncle Sam months to inform me that my package had been, from years ago, had been compromised. So they weren't quick. It wasn't 2 weeks. It was months. So the Senate's vote on this bill is expected next week. The House has already passed its version with strong bipartisan support. So it appears that the president probably will sign this if it goes up to the White House. So cybersecurity bill looks like it's going to go through. Speaking of Apple, just talked about them a second ago, but Apple has banned some earlier versions of Adobe Flash from its computers. So that should not be a surprise at all with the ongoing issues with Adobe Flash. So you shouldn't have them on there anyway because your computer should be automatically being updated. But if it is, you'll be getting an update and it will be blocked. I've said many, many times, and it's usually been in relation to podcasting companies, I've told podcasters, do not build your podcast on someone else's platform. Build it on your .com. Build your brand, IP, SEO. Because as soon as you get all set up and you're rocking and rolling and you're good, someone's going to change the rules on you, going to change up policy terms, going to do different terms of service, whatever it may be, and you might not like the changes and have nothing to do to leave. So YouTubers are really up and upset about YouTube Red. And for me, this actually kind of excites me because I wouldn't mind being part of this group. The past 24 hours have tortured some YouTube professionals and their fans. A famous free video site announced a new paid service called YouTube Red, and nobody's really sure what it means, but some YouTubers are already making end time predictions. And basically, if you are a partner with YouTube, you are going to be asked to accept to take listeners to your show, to your videos, and they don't have to watch any advertisement. But what they will have done, those users will have paid a $9.95 per month fee to be able to have the privilege of having non-advertising supported videos on YouTube. So both creators and users have been asking for a YouTube subscription service, and that's why they built YouTube Red. So the majority of their partners, 90% of the content watched on YouTube is signed up as a partner to do in revenue share. But some folks do not want, and basically they said, if you don't sign up for this program, your videos are not going to be available to those that are on YouTube Red. So I don't know why these folks are upset. They're on another company's platform. They are getting revenue share that they've had to do nothing to earn except build volume. And that's hard enough to do on YouTube. Build volume so they get, you know, a percentage of the revenue share being a partner. At the same time, YouTube is trying to figure out a way to make the experience better on the site. And if you're over there, living over there, you would think that you'd want to sign up and be part of this, you know, this paid plan, because you're going to get a percentage of that subscription in your check. So, but a lot of people are saying, nope, I don't want this for whatever reason. So, again, my advice stands. If you're building your business model on someone else's platform, you're building your own brand on someone else's platform, be prepared for changes, and you may have to shift right or left or change up. You may not have a choice. Personally, I think this YouTube Red thing is a lot of belly aching for nothing, but it's the way it is. You're on their platform. You're a guest on their platform. Do you think if a few number of folks said no, that YouTube is really going to care? You know, shrug their shoulders. They just won't present your videos to folks that are paying $9.95 for the privilege of having ad-free content. So, and I just give fair warning to anyone that creates content. Know the risk of where you're putting it. We're streaming on YouTube right now. YouTube could say tomorrow, we're shutting this down. I'm fully aware of that. I'm fully prepared to go to a backup plan to live stream the show. I'm not beholden to it. I love their platform for streaming. Get a nice embed to put on the website. I can have a chat room underneath it. It's simple. It's a real easy setup to be ready to go. It's a no-brainer for me. And if they shut it down, well, I'd have to go back to Amazon. And I'd have to revitalize the streaming server over there and get that set up and engaged. And, I might miss a few live shows. But that's the way it would be. Or I'd have to go looking for another alternative, another streaming service. So, that's the risk I take in being over there and getting free streaming. And really incredibly good streaming for free. You cannot beat that. You really, really can't. All right, switching gears here. Charter is quietly offering skinny bundles aimed at cord cutters. So they've put together a basic TV channel package. It's $13 a month, includes a Roku 3 player, access the four major broadcast channels, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, and an option to add Showtime and HBO for another $7. And, for another $7, users can add another 16 channels, including A&E, ESPN, Hallmark, Lifetime, Freedom, Food Network, HGTV, AMC, FX, History 2, TBS, National Geographic, Discovery, and TNC. It's almost got everything I want. I'm an A&E. I watch Discovery, the Learning Channel. That's about what I need. And here, truth be told, in my bedroom, I don't have a cable box. So I have whatever the analog is allowed to come in. I have the cable box in the living room. I really should buy another cable box and just connect it up in the bedroom. But never really seen the need to do, because, like I said, the stuff I watch is on, a half dozen channels that are available still via an analog signal. So maybe this is the same type of thing with Charter. But so very, very good on Charter for coming up with that skinny bundle. Teenagers are always today looking for ways to make money, and actually some adults too. And you find yourself between jobs, need a little extra time, you got some writing skills. There's a great article over on makeuseof.com talking about how you can make money as a teenager, but maybe even someone between jobs are looking for just a little bit of extra spending money. If you're looking to raise a little cash between now and, let's say, the pre-shopping season, this may be a way to do it. So I have the link up in the show notes for all those resources. Again, some of them don't pay a lot, but if you got a little extra time, might be worthwhile to look at. Hey, NASA has put together 45 minutes of slow motion Apollo rocket launches. So you have to love, you know, some of the slow motion stuff that NASA has done, and you know, see the fire of the launches from those, you know, huge, tremendous Saturn V rockets. Very, very cool stuff here. But again, it's a 45-minute long, epic slow motion Saturn V Apollo rocket launches, and enjoy. It's a lot of fun to watch a little bit of this video. All right, drones are going to be used to inspect bridges. Makes a lot of sense. You know, those inspecting a bridge, you think about, okay, where I'm from, you just walk underneath the bridge. Or you have a little canoe or something, you go underneath the bridge and you look. We don't have, at least in the area that I grew up in, really big, big bridges. Of course, in the bridge between the Lower Peninsula and Upper Peninsula of Michigan, that is a fairly large bridge. And it has to be inspected, and folks have to go out and climb underneath it and do all kinds of things. So drones are going to be used to do some of these bridge inspections, where before humans would have to go in harnesses and crawl around. And you know, those guys earn their money that do that type of a job, go out and do the inspection. There's no way. There's no way I could do that. There's just some jobs that some people are designed for. God bless them. I'm glad that they can do that. But drone operating, yeah, if I get good enough doing a drone, I'll do bridge inspections with a drone. I think it would be pretty monotonous, though, wouldn't it? You're just flying up and, you know, you're zooming around with the camera, looking at the girders, and probably not a lot of fun. Maybe the first one would be fun, and, you know, you'd have to fly in between and keep from crashing and stuff. But from long-term case, I guess that's someone's got to do it, right? You know, prisons in America are, we all know, they're filled to the rim. A lot of incarcerated folks in a variety of charges, everything from larceny to murders to child molesters. And if you've ever had a family member of anyone incarcerated, you'll know that if they call you, you'll get a collect call. And many of you say, what is a collect call? I have no idea what that is. That's basically where your phone rings, you answer, and an operator says, are you willing to pay the charges for this call coming in from inmate so-and-so at such and such correctional institution? And if you say yes, you basically pay the phone bill for that conversation. Well, the FCC voted Thursday to crack down on exorbitant prison phone rates, and a landmark victory for criminal justice reform advocates who have long criticized what they call abusive and predatory practices by phone companies. The new FCC rules cap the cost of prison phone calls at 11 cents a minute for debit or prepaid cards in state and federal prisons, and reduce the cost of most inmate calls from $2.96 to $1.65 for a 15-minute in-state call, and from $3.15 to $1.65 for a 15-minute long-distance call. The new policy cracks down on excessive service fees and so-called flat-rate calling, in which inmates are charged a flat rate for a call of up to 15 minutes, regardless of the actual call duration. So for those of you that may have a family member incarcerated, you may be getting relief very quickly on those calls coming from, you know, you're putting maybe money in for the commissary, or I don't know how that works. I don't have any family members incarcerated currently, thank goodness. Well, I do have one devil incarnate, the fellow that my cousin's kids, but he's not part of the family anymore. If he called me and asked for me to reverse take the charges, I would impolitely decline. But anyway, get a little bit of relief here on those costs. All right, NASA Space Launch System inches even closer to flight. NASA's been tolling away in its heavy lifting space launch system since around 2011, and all those rocket plans have taken another giant leap toward actual usability. the NASA administration announced earlier today that one of the SLS-3 main configurations successfully gone through its critical design review, CDR. For those of you that are government folks, you know what a CDR is. It's basically where the contractor comes in and you look at everything, say, yep, you pass, you get some more money. But it's the CDR phase 2 months after the program turned its official findings to an independent review board. So this is one of the lighter launch systems. But if everything goes well, we'll be doing some test lifts in some time. When? In 2016 or 18? Oh, yeah, 2018, we'll have some flight readiness tests. We're still a few years away, but God willing, we'll all be here together, and we'll be able to talk about it then. Hey, Lockheed Martin asteroid sampling spacecraft is final testing ahead of a 2016 launch. So the OSIRIS-REx stands for Origin Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer. Oh, my goodness. Which is going to be going out to an asteroid called 101955 Bennu that's in orbit of the sun. And anyway, this satellite is now off to Colorado for 5 months of test. And if everything works right, we'll get a launch next year. Congratulations to Microsoft for basically reported a profit, excluding severances and acquisition costs, of 67 cents a share on $221.7 billion in revenue in the first fiscal quarter of 2016. So they did very, very well. And everyone's very, very happy about the performance. They're up and after hours trading. At the same time, Microsoft's Bing search business finally is profitable. During its first fiscal quarter, Microsoft announced that Bing had finally achieved profitability. Search contributed to more than $1 billion to Microsoft's first quarter for 2016. That's incredible that they were able to generate $1 billion from Bing alone. So that's huge. But on the other side of the spectrum, Microsoft phone sales fell 54% because of their updated strategy. Despite it being an overall strong first quarter, mobile is still hurting. Again, the phone sales fell 54%. And so basically, Microsoft didn't have much to sell over the past few months. Its flagship Windows 10 phone, the Lumia 950 and 950 XL, were only announced this month. So all that was left over the summer was the mid-range and low-end phones. So they have got a few products on the street. Maybe that'll basically tighten up here over the next quarter. We will see. At the same time, Windows 10 follow-up date is set for November release. The Microsoft released Threshold 2 of Windows 10 in November as the Windows 10 fall update. And unlike the post-RTM Windows Insider builds, the fall update will ship as a cumulative update, not as a full build. Excuse me. So for those of you that are testing Windows 10 updates, that will be forthcoming. All right, do you live in L.A.? Are you going to be there between now and 2018? Well, scientists are predicting with a 99.9% chance that you're going to have a 5.0 magnitude earthquake or greater between now and 2018, specifically April 1st of 2018. So this JPL did this prediction. That's pretty strong, 99.9 between now and 2018. And this one's supposed to happen in around where the last big earthquake happened, the La Habra earthquake, supposed to be within like a 5 mile diameter of that. That's where the epicenter is supposed to be. So if you're close to the epicenter, maybe it's time to move. All right, Facebook has just made all public posts searchable. And if you've been flying underneath the radar on Facebook, you might be surprised. If you have not been setting the permissions correctly on your post, you can now have year-old posts that may show up in the search engine. Just because maybe you used a certain keyword or had a post that was popular. And so there are ways to shut this down. and you have to do it in the private settings and tools. You have to limit the audience for old posts on your timeline. You have to set that up. But this is a big change by Facebook. So if you've got stuff in your timeline that you don't really want kind of searched, you'll definitely want to go to privacy setting and tools and look up this change to make this change to keep your older post out of the search results. It's going to do nothing for your newer posts, but will for your older ones. Hey, Pandora's going to pay the RIAA, my most favorite organization, not $90 million for playing pre-1972 songs. So, if you've been listening on Pandora to the oldies and goldies of 50s and 60s, you'll be happy to know that Pandora has just sent a check for $90 million to basically settle up on copyright situation. And I'm sure Pandora said this with a very forced smile. Pandora's excited to have found resolution with these record labels, said Pandora CEO Brian McAndrews in a statement. We pursued this settlement in order to move the conversation forward and continue to foster a better collaborative relationship with the labels. And I'm, again, very forced smile probably from him is what entailed. Hey, congratulations to the folks over at Amazon and AWS. First of all, Amazon, man, they hit it out of the ballpark for earnings for this quarter. This is huge. Overall, Amazon beat analyst expectations with $25.4 billion in net sales and a profit of $79 million, or 17 cents per share. Analysts polled by Thomson and Reuters were expected a loss of 13 cents per share on sales of $24.91 billion. But here's the amazing part. AWS alone brought in $2.09 billion in sales in the quarter ending September 30th. Represent a jump of 78% over the same period last year. So it tells you how many people are in the cloud, folks. Holy cow, $2 billion spent or paid to Amazon on cloud services. Really simply incredible. At the same time, the Amazon AWS, they've been busy. I think they introduced like 500 features in just the past year. They've updated a new database system, a system called Aurora that is just simply incredible for high-end database needs. So anyway, it's still, you know, early days for them. So this product has got a lot of room to grow. At the same time, Amazon Prime helped drive Amazon's third quarter. They don't report Amazon Prime subscribers, but they know that the number is north of 10 million and south of 100 million in terms of subscribers. And or the profitability of them. But I'm a big, big fan of Prime here. We get our money's worth out of it about, within 2 weeks of the renewal with as many orders as my kids and I and my wife are putting in for over at Amazon. All right, have you updated to the new iOS 9.1? I'll have to say I haven't yet. I need to do the update. But emojis. And I've never been a big emojis fan. I'll put in a... use the keyboard characters to make a smiley face or a wink. But now you can, you can do the emojis. I guess it had to come at some point. Those of you Android have been able to do emojis for a long time. But the latest update makes iOS the first operating system to include every single emoji in the Unicode standard. So what that means is that both the new characters approved in Unicode 8 early this year as well as older characters in Unicode 1.1 have been turned into emoji that are all packed in. There's really a standard for that? You got to be kidding me. People sit around and talk about if they're going to have a smiley face or a, stick your tongue out face or if they're going to have a mean face or a wink or whatever. People talk about this? Have they got nothing better to do? Please. If my boss came and said, we need you to come in and sit on the emoji standard, I'd be like, really? Have any of you ever gotten a ticket from one of those cameras, speed cameras, or traffic, an intersection camera? I have. Washington, D.C. years ago when they were very new. I got one. But apparently in Italy, frustration is building up over fines. And someone actually decided to take revenge on the camera. They blew it up. earlier this week, an unknown party set off a bomb near Milan and blew up the camera. I don't condone violence. We should all be, you know, but it's you have to understand. You know, probably this guy had gotten 4 or 5 or maybe even 10 speeding tickets on that particular camera, or maybe just gotten 1 and went into his garage and made some concoction up and went. And you just have to appreciate the tenacity of someone to do that, and not condoning it, but you just kind of have to go, hmm. Oh, my gosh. That's taking it a little bit far. Okay, there is a article that will hurt your head a little bit. And when you see this, you're going to say, really? Is this going to work? Over at sciencemag.org, they're talking about the bizarre reactor that might save nuclear fusion. This is a $1 billion. Is it pound? Let me look at that. No, it's euro. A billion euro machine. Known as the Wendelstein 7-X. It's a 16-meter wide ring of gleaming metal, bristling device of all... And I'm just going to do is, for those of you that are watching, I'm just going to put the header of the article up. And please, if you're listening to the show, I want you to just look for the fusion reactor link in the show notes. And when you click on the link and see the picture of this thing... Now, when I first saw it, I'll be quite frank. I'll be like, what alien provided those drawings? Because I've hanged out with a lot of really smart people. But what this thing is over the top. It's like, you have got to be kidding me. When you see a picture of this thing, I'm not kidding you, it looks like something out of Star Wars. It's incredible. It really, truly is. And again, the link will be up in the show notes. You got to just, don't even read the article. Just look at the picture. And your brain's going to go, really? But I'll be honest, whoever has come up with this thing, and figured out how, and they said it's a supercomputer designed the magnets and everything that go along with the wiring and the shapes and, you know, the figure eight and whatever they do with this thing to make, to try to contain the reaction. It's, wow. It's called the Stellarator. 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 If this didn't have a date of today on this, of essentially the 22nd of October, I would say this is an April Fool's joke, but it's the real deal. All right, I know some of you use Instagram. Some of you have kids that use Instagram, and I got a couple of Instagram fanatics here. Well, Instagram now has a new standalone app. It's called Boomerang. It captures 1 second video loops. Really? Are people really going to install this? But I almost guarantee my daughter, when she gets home tonight, and if I ask if it's on her phone, she'll say, yes, it is, because she loves Instagram. Here's a bizarre one. Shopping mall closed circuit TV systems are being abused, hacked, and then they're being used to do denial of service attacks against websites. In the UK alone, one mall had nearly 900 CCTV cameras that were hacked, and they were used, I guess not one mall, there were 900 CCTV cameras spread across a globe, so they actually had them from all over the world, were being used to do denial of service attacks. So they've got some advice for people that have CCTVs and how to secure them so that hackers can't get into them. And a really big, big news today, the ICANN Accountability Group has apparently come to some sort of an agreement. I don't think it's quite exactly what they wanted it, but the internet community has published the key details of its plan to improve accountability at the domain name overseer ICANN when it takes control of the critical IANA contract next year. So what they've done, after a year of work and a number of contentious interactions with ICANN staff and board, the cross-community working group in charge of the process to produce a 10-point plan. One most significant is a group shift from a member model that would give internet community a legal right in organizations running to be a designator model. To a designator model that gives the community soft power and ultimate sanction over firing the entire board. Of that model, the co-chairs of the group wrote, the group reached broad agreement to move forward with the sole designator as the new referencing enforcement model for the next draft proposal. The group will next attempt to finalize patching the model to alleviate any outstanding concerns on their next draft proposal. In other words, they gave an inch. I think they gave up a mile. But the community is still fighting. They didn't think they could come to get an agreement the other way. So they folded their cards and said, okay, we'll be members. We won't be members. We'll be a designator. So whatever that means. But link will be up. And they do have the point here. But the main thing is the designator status will allow them to remove individual board members or fire the entire board if they see fit. All right, Pandora shares are down 20% after hours trading after company post Q3 loss. Hey, this company's burning cash like crazy. Pandora reported a third quarter loss of $85.9 million. The company lost 40 cents per share. Pandora met street estimates and posted an adjusted profit of 10 pence per share. Its revenue of, how does it lose money and then, an adjusted profit? Its revenue of $311.6 million nearly missed an estimated $313 million. Shares were down 20%, so they didn't have a profit. They had a loss. Now, AT&T, on the other hand, AT&T raised its annual profit forecast on stronger subscriber gains in its mobile business. The company said it expected per share earnings to rise to $2.74 this year, up from an estimated $2.68. Shares rose 2% to $34.65 in after hours trading. So the nation's second largest wireless carrier reported earnings of nearly $3 billion on $30.91 in revenue. So even old AT&T made some money this quarter. Those of you that are system administrators, let me just make you very aware of a new attack protocol. There's new attacks on the Network Time Protocol, NTP, and it's been designed to defeat HTTPS and create chaos. So if you are a Linux operator, please pay attention to this NTP hack. I have a link up in the show notes for you to go look and start securing your system. Google continues to grow thanks to strong mobile and YouTube ads. So Google had a pretty good quarter. Their business was up. But they have some major announcements coming. I can't say, but I will say next week there's going to be some major announcements coming. And so we'll see. I'll talk about it then. We've been kind of talking a little bit about what it is, but I know the announcement's coming next week. Google had another good quarter. I don't have the numbers in front of me exactly what they were, but Google also announced that they're rolling out a redesigned Play Store. So that's starting to come out. It's been teased a little bit already, and it's been showing up on some Android devices. So be aware of that. And it won't be too long now before people will be able to start using it. And good things coming to the Play Store. Volkswagen, they enlarged their emission scandal. Millions of more vehicles may have cheated. They are in so much trouble It's not looking good. Hey, one thing I noticed today, I kept having my phone died by noon, and I couldn't figure out why. Facebook app is apparently burning batteries. So update your Facebook app on iOS now to keep it from draining your battery. They fixed two major issues, so just be aware of that, okay? Hey, Airbnb apparently is trying to get people to vote for a certain measure that's coming to San Francisco, and they put a number of billboards out, and they were the walk-up type billboards you'd see at a bus stop. So here's one of them. Dear Public Library System, we hope you use some of the $12 million in hotel taxes to keep the library open later. Love, Aaron B. Dear Public Works, we hope that you'll use some of the $12 million in hotel taxes to put escalators on all the hills. Dear SF Tax Collector, you know the $12 million in hotel taxes? Don't spend it all in one place. Love, Airbnb. Well, they've gotten some pushback for this. Airbnb has had to post an apology. But at the same time, every time Airbnb gets negative, and same thing with Lyft, and same thing with the other driving service, as soon as they get some negative news, their usage goes up because the awareness of their product goes up. Apparently, Seagate was having trouble. They'd bought in the Samsung HDD hard drive business a couple of years ago, actually 4 years ago. And finally, the Chinese Minister of Commerce has told Seagate they can finally start integrating Samsung's disk drive business into its mainstream operations. And so Seagate was, oh, thank you for China allowing us to do this. But it took them 4 years to allow them to merge the operations. Can you imagine the impact on the bottom line from them doing that? It has to be really huge. Also, there's some accusations out there that Twitter has allegedly begun censoring content, is hiding posts based on geography. Someone noticed that his attached picture of one of the pages of the leaked drone documents was unviewable in the United States, but worked fine elsewhere. There was a write-up on it online. They're talking about it in Reddit. But I guess now others are coming forward and sharing similar stories with the hashtag It's Over. For its part, Twitter's claiming it was a one-time server issue, but the tech folks are really not agreeing with that based on the evidence that they have. If any of you are web designers out there and designing exclusively in material design right now, there's a good article about Is Material Design Killing the Web? I have that link for you to read. I think you'll get some good information out of it. And finally, tonight in the articles, I got an article here talks about the best jailbreak apps and tweaks for iOS 9. So I'll have that up for you to review. I do have a couple of emails that have come in. Let me get this opened up. And what was that? Was that on another? There was something else here. Huh, okay. That was weird. Some follow-up. I thought I had missed something. Okay, I got an email from Ron. He said, hey, Todd, I thought this is an odd but cool read, and it's on Tech Insider talking about how Oslo has declared that it would become the first major city to ban cars. So, wow. They're going to build more than 35 miles of bike lanes by 2019. The permanent ban will affect 350,000 or so car owners in the Norwegian capital. So I would be upset. Very, very upset. Hey, Greg, thank you for your email. I won't read what you said in the in your post, but yes, restraint is a good thing. Phil, I got an email from you. He says, hey, Todd, these star-crossed Stella lovers are heading for a disaster. And thankfully, it's 160,000 miles away. So apparently, is that a real image? It's, I guess two stars are coming together. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you to check this out. So thanks, Phil, for that. I do appreciate that link. And also, I got a newsletter from a show I listen to all the time. And this is something that I was kind of aware of. And how many of you have watched a Vice video? So Vice looks all viral, right? Well, Vice has got a corporate handler, for better words, the owner now. So there's CNN is building a studio to develop native ads. And it was outlined on the Native Advertising Institute. It's a platform studio called Courageous. Fast Company has another article on how the company formed a specific funded LLC called GBS, or Great Big Story, to provide or produce bogus videos for advertisers so CNN can compete with Vice. And, of course, Vice, I believe, owner is Viacom. Don't quote me on that. But the folks at this podcast were suspicious of Vice since it's morphing into a produce. It's been morphing into producing more what they would term questionable documentaries, and with this new CNN initiative, could make things a lot worse. So just be aware that stuff that's being produced today, that you're seeing on mainstream media, you're seeing video highlights, video takeouts, 3 or 4 minute little piece on something. Those are not always what they seem. They are basically an advertisement that you're really not knowing it's an advertisement, but you're being sold to. So again, it's called native advertising. And so be aware that some of that's out there. But I want to thank John C. DeWork over at No Agenda for highlighting this in his No Agenda newsletter. So very, very cool stuff. I got an email from Bree. She said, "Hey, Todd, here's more info on the CIA head's hack." And it's basically from the New York Post talking about the Stoner High School student says he hacked the CIA guy. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to review. But that, I think, let me see here, where are we at? Did I got one more? I got an email from Stacy. Oh, can't read that one. A few more on our hot topic button that happened before. So anyway, that's going to bring me to the end of the show. Wow, we finished in record time. Good job, Todd. Okay, talking to myself. If you have comments on today's show, I really want to hear from you, geeknews@gmail.com. Keep those cool links and articles coming when you find something bizarre or interesting or you think might carry over for the show. I really want you to send that to me, geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to tweet me at geeknews, you can do so. Facebook, just search for Todd Cochran. Follow me. I'll follow you back. And Google Plus, the same thing. Might want to send me a message on Google Plus because a lot of techies that follow me that I don't always put in a circle. But appreciate you being here. Appreciate you hanging out with me for this show. I hope you have a great weekend. I'll be back with you for one more show in the studio before I start my massive road trip where we will switch to audio only for about 3.5 weeks. So it's been my pleasure to bring you the show today. I hope that all of you take care and have a great weekend. Take care of one another. Be safe out there. Support our sponsor. Send links our way when you can for geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Everyone, see you next time. We'll take care. Aloha.